Dear citizens, Padmini Arhant, representative, divine mission, author and presenter, PadminiArhant.com. Welcome back to discussion on global issues concerning humanity. Before I proceed with discourse and interaction on global matter, I wish to share anecdotes with you. I'm sure some of you would be able to relate to what I'm about to say in this context. We all begin our career in life at some point in time. When you are a college student applying for internship and you are interning with any company, or a fresh graduate becoming the newest and the youngest employee in any company, I need not elaborate what that employee might be going through, or what might be going through in that employee's mind entering the new job and becoming part of the workforce. Sometimes the experience is very conducive and the environment is very congenial, accepting, and you know, you are made welcome and so on. But then there is also the other scenario when you happen to be, if you happen to be the youngest and you are an intern, say working for a production company or a major film studio or an organization, regardless of the company size. When the CEO of the company expects the interns or the newest employee to attend to their personal service, like, hey, you are the youngest employee in this company, by the way, I'm the CEO, so go get me a cup of coffee from Starbucks, or you know, do can you pick up my clothes from the dry cleaners, and then on your way to the office also make sure that you get me some sandwich. This is the CEO of the company, regardless of the size. You know, the smaller the company, the more, I guess, authority exerted for there is this atmosphere that the CEO in a very small company becomes the big shot, and as opposed to a major organization where these kind of things would become more obvious, and I guess it would be rather embarrassing for a CEO to be delegating the employees with their personal tasks. And so what I'm trying to say here is, you know, if you think you are the CEO of a small company or a major organization, and when you have people working for you as interns or new employee trying to gain work experience by working for your company, do not use them for your personal service, for that becomes exploitation. The reason being that people come to work to do company's work or to work for the company, and the job description should be strictly related to any company duties and responsibilities, and not expect them to attend to your personal for your personal service. If you need someone to attend to your personal chores, then I guess it would be appropriate for you to hire someone specifically for that purpose. But then when you use new employees or interns as your personal staff for your personal needs and requirements, then I need not say that that does become exploitation, and in a way this is also, you know, exerting this attitude that let it be known that I am the CEO and you are the employee, and you would do anything that you're expected to do, even that is, you know, out of the company duties. And anybody, you know, as the head of the organization, behaving that way is only demonstrating their immaturity, and that also goes to prove, you know, this lack of respect for employees, and, you know, anyone who is part of that company, whether on a temporary basis or, you know, working on full time, irrespective of the job description and their employment status. You know, I think when you are the CEO, it is incumbent upon any CEO or anybody, but more so on the head of the organization, to be more respectful towards all employees, regardless of their positions. And that in itself would prove the company policy, their regard for human status, that all are equal, you know, even in terms of the, you know, designations and hierarchy that exists. But then, you know, I think it is kind of crossing the limit when you think that you can use any new employees or interns or anybody whom you think that are not important. Otherwise, I don't think you would be treating people in that manner, and you expect them to become your personal and use them for your personal service, that only reflects poorly on such head of the, you know, company or any businesses that might be out there in the workforce. So this is something that I think is important for people to realize, that when you have someone contributing to your company as an employee or an intern in whatever capacity, appreciate their contribution and not mistreat them in the sense that making them become your personal assistants or people to do your personal chores and tasks that you yourself should be doing it, unless, you know, you have some severe physical or any other you know, disabilities that you're not able to function on your own. And that is not the case. Often you know, the able bodies are the ones who are, you know, involved in such conduct, which I think is rather regrettable. And this is why I emphasize on education does not necessarily mean, you know, degrees and all the honors and accolades that you receive from institutions. Education begins with how you treat people in life. And now I would like to also talk about another incident, which is rather paradoxical. I'm not sure if some of you remember when the former president George W. Bush visited Iraq following the invasion of Iraq in 2003 and the installation of Iraqi government of United States and hegemony choice. Then there was a press conference that was held in Baghdad, Iraq's capital. During that press conference, a journalist threw a pair of shoe at the president, the former president of the United States, George W. Bush. The former president, George W. Bush, was present in the press conference, at the press conference, and during that event, one of the members, a journalist, threw a shoe at, it was aimed at the former president. And yes, you know, that obviously was not appropriate, but then let me say this, that journalist family was major victims, as many others were and still are in Iraq due to that invasion, illegal invasion of that nation. The journalist acknowledged the action, and he also explained how his entire family has been the victims, and some of them had lost their lives, and I believe one of his brothers was so severely injured that is almost like he is his chances of recovery was dismal at that time. And the culmination of, you know, the family tragedy and the experience was so traumatic for this young man, it had prompted him to display his anger at the entity that is the former president of the United States, who was instrumental in waging that war. And of course there were no regrets on the leadership part about the millions who died as the consequence of that illegal invasion of Iraq. And what happened to the journalist? The journalist was apprehended immediately on the scene and was imprisoned, and he was tortured, and he was made to, you know, regret that about his action while in custody, in police custody in Iraq, and this journalist had a grueling experience, which was of course shared by this journalist after his release. This is after 6 years of persecution and torture for that daring action that he threw a pair of his shoe at the former president, and then juxtaposed to this incident, the Iraq invasion in 2003 was commenced ceremoniously. Yes, ceremoniously. And this was done with such there was this was kind of almost regarded a joyous occasion when the cluster bombs were showered upon the citizens in Baghdad. It was called the Mother of Bombs, the cluster bombs. Mother of Bombs were rained upon the citizens in Baghdad, and then there was applause amongst the members in the mainstream media in the United States and the media that represents hegemony elsewhere. And then simultaneously, while this mother of bombs and cluster bombs were dropped on the people in Baghdad, Iraq, there were also bombs laden with depleted uranium. Yes, depleted uranium were used, which is actually a nuclear component. So when you really come to think of it, there was a nuclear component used in Iraq war as it was in the Vietnam War. In Vietnam War, they used napalm, and the effects of napalm on young children and women has this gory images that are still available. And the victims of the Vietnam War who were targeted with this napalm, they still have the physical and emotional scars on them. And similarly in Iraq, the use of depleted uranium, especially in Fallujah, that is one of the other cities in Iraq, when this depleted uranium was used and targeting civilians. Yes, civilians. And many are still experiencing and enduring this excruciating pain and agony from that depleted uranium that was used against them by United States and allies during the Iraq War. So what happened? Those who were responsible, those who were the chief architects, and those who proudly claimed that this was a just act. Yes, they claimed that invasion of Iraq and dropping mother bombs and cluster bombs and bombs laden with nuclear component like uranium, killing scores of people and leaving thousands and even a million, more than a million, suffering until today with serious damages, physical, emotional and mental damages amongst the civilian population in that country. They were cheering at that time. None of them have ever accepted responsibility, whether it be the former President George W. Bush, Vice President, the former Vice President Dick Cheney, the former Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, or for that matter, the ex-Prime Minister of Britain, Tony Blair. None of them have expressed remorse or regrets for their actions, the brutal warfare against the people of Iraq. And there was a case brought against the former Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld on this matter by the legal experts and those who felt that there was a serious crime committed against the people in Iraq, supported by hardcore evidences. And this matter was brought to the Supreme Court of the United States' attention. Did the Supreme Court of the United States care to look into the matter and exercise the constitutional duty? Now, the Supreme Court is expected to uphold the constitutional law and also be a fair judiciary when it comes to the judicial process and execute the judicial power entrusted to them by the people of the United States. The Supreme Court in the United States simply rejected that lawsuit that was brought by the legitimate, credible organization, legal experts in the United States against the former Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, who was part and parcel of the horrendous crimes and atrocities that were committed against the people in Iraq. When you are part of the executive team and executed decisions, implemented warfare, and in the course of that warfare, millions were subject to horrendous experience, and this non-discriminatory targeting of civilians in the war zone. And when this matter was brought to United States Supreme Court with the expectation that justice will be served for the victims of that nation. There was only disappointment. A huge setback once again for democracy and justice. United States touted as the land of justice was only proved to be a myth. It's all just rhetoric, a nice slogan. Home of the brave and land of the free, and this is the land of the justice and so on, sounds very patriotic, but then when it comes to reality, what exists is beyond belief. So what I'm trying to say here is the journalist in Baghdad, having had his family as victims in this gruesome warfare, whoever said war is pretty, war is pleasant? Wars are nothing but a catastrophe that is inflicted upon the people of the targeted nation. And wars driven by greed the desire for economic and strategic dominance. Need I even say what those wars contribute to the people? Both the people of the nation that is waging the war and the people of the nation against whom these attacks are made. And so what I'm trying to say here is, here there was this journalist for throwing a pair of shoe at one of the political member, the key representative behind the Iraq war, and this journalist was made to serve time in prison for that action, and just not ordinary time. We are talking about torture, persecution, the 6 years of his time in prison. He was imprisoned for 6 years for throwing a shoe, and then there was this political entity who proudly addressed press conference in the United States and overseas with no remorse, no regrets about the military power that was exhibited on the people in Iraq. As I said, mother of bombs, cluster bombs, bombs with uranium, depleted uranium, that were dropped in Fallujah and Baghdad and Mosul and so on. And yet when there was a solid, credible lawsuit brought against one of the members when it should have been against all of them. What happened? It was just simply overthrown by the Supreme Court of the United States. So do you see the paradox here? When you are a citizen and a victim of authoritarianism, for this is what it is, authoritarianism in action, waging illegal wars under false pretext. Iraq war was waged on false premise, claiming that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction, when that turned out to be weapons of mass deception. And the journalist was punished, so much so that he was made to feel that whatever he did was such a serious offense that he would not ever dare do that again. Whereas those who were behind the mass killings, it could easily be characterized as genocide. Yes, when millions die under deliberate action of those in position of power and authority, and they have no remorse whatsoever for their actions, they are protected with political impunity, that they become untouchable. You cannot even, you know, think about any actions against these people. So do you understand what I'm trying to say here? Citizens, the mainstream population, will be subject to the most rigorous punishment for expressing their anger or disappointment, frustration against those who have been responsible for the destruction of lives, beginning with these people's family and the rest of the nation. At the same time, the perpetrators of such brutality, the atrocities that often accompanies warfare, they are provided and guaranteed security, and there is no way of bringing them to accountability. And this is the paradoxical treatment that is applied in contemporary settings, simply because the system is under incognito power control. Now let me shed light on another paradoxical situation. While the targets are being made at me as usual, and I'm so accustomed to that kind of responses and reaction, it no longer, you know, surprises me about my self-proclamation as the representative of divine mission. Representative of divine mission, yes, I still maintain that in unequivocal terms. And irrefutable manner, the representative of divine mission. Unlike them, the incognito power lurking in the dark, refusing to come out and tell the world that they are indeed the forces behind this global mayhem, and they are the ones who are orchestrating worldwide chaos and calamity. And let me also say this to the conglomerate or the incognito power hegemony, you know, they have so many different names. At the end of the day, what do they represent? They represent greed. Greed, violence, and this indiscriminative killings that continues unabated across the globe. This is all to serve their self-interest. This has got nothing to do with human progress or taking this planet towards to another milestone or imagining any kind of incredible advancement that would have universal benefit. Nothing of that sort. On the contrary, it's all about the 1% desirous of prolonging the status quo. I mentioned about how the royalty being provided for by the so-called commoners in Europe and worldwide, the royalties, the members of the royal family living this life of opulence, extravagance, unwilling to compromise in their luxury. And who is paying for all this? The ordinary people. Yes, the ordinary people are the ones who are burdened with the liability called the royalty. So while I'm being criticized, I pose the same question to the members of the 1%, the ruling class, hegemony. What about the self-proclaimed privileged status that has been assigned to them? What about the self-proclaimed monarchy that is wreaking havoc until today? The self-proclamation of this monarchy empire that has spread across the globe through imperialism, colonizing every continent in the world. And by the way, I would also like to know what is the explanation from the ruling class, hegemony, about the monarchy labeling every part of the world map as British Antarctic Territory, British Indian Ocean, and the worst part is declaring the South Pole as Queen Elizabeth Land. Could it be any more flamboyant than what this has been done? I would like to know, what is your response, hegemony? When you're criticizing me, I would like to know, what is your reaction about what I'm saying right now? Queen Elizabeth Land, South Pole, being named as or declared Queen Elizabeth Land, since when? And then I also recall, upon the monarchy arrival in Australia, and this particular state up north in Australia, Queensland, the monarchy ostentatiously claiming that, I quote, Queensland, yes, this state is appropriately named Queensland, end quote. So there is no there is nothing wrong about this bizarre claim, South Pole being named as Queen Elizabeth Land and Queensland in Australia being claimed as the Queensland. So this is perfectly all right with hegemony when they go about claiming every part of the world to be their own and having assigned this invincible status to them, saying that, look, we are the ruling class, hegemony, with undying hegemonic goals, and dare anyone, whether on this planet or from outer space, descends on this planet and remind us who we are as the mortals whose time is limited, regardless of their affluence, their political, economic, social positions and power that they may hold in their life. So my question to them is, what about the self-proclamation as the monarchy that exists even in this 21st century, the new millennium, and everything is Royal College, Royal Society, Royal this, Royal that. Everything is royalty based. I suppose there is nothing wrong with that, correct, hegemony? So what you're saying is, it is perfectly all right for you and your members to assert this self-proclaimed positions and status And anything that is genuine is what often irks, and that is what prompts you to challenge. For the fact of the matter is, the genuine aspect is what not acceptable to you. And need I even go any further when it comes to the God man and God women that you have created in the wake of this divine mission being launched per cosmic resolution? This is the preordained cosmic event that has now been in action, and now the rulers of this planet, who have just simply taken it for granted that they are the ones who would continue for generations to come, they would be the ones who would remain the empire, you know, the unipolar authority that exists. At the same time, you know, as irony would have it, again, as I said, hegemony and irony, they are so intertwined that they cannot possibly even recognize that how ironic it is for them to call me out when all that they are doing is contradictory to what they claim and what they say about anything, any issue. And let me also mention this, going back to this territorial annexations at will by hegemony and their members, the imperial powers, the empires that still persist today. It's one thing about, you know, choosing all the territories and landmarks on the world map and then relabeling the world map to suit their preference, hegemony preference. And then there is another thing about, you know, the global population. Do they really think that when they claim South Pole as Queen Elizabeth Land and the territories that are demarcated as British Indian Ocean and British Antarctic Territory and so on and so forth? So I asked hegemony, what is next? Is it going to be Planet Elizabeth instead of Planet Earth? I suppose that would be perfectly all right for hegemony, isn't it? For this is all about the inclusion and exclusion and isolation. So when you are the representative of, you are
the hegemony of imperialism that is aimed at prolonging with no end in sight, and
when you consider all these events that are happening, this endless warfare and colonizations that continues until today, whether it be in Africa, the Middle East, Latin America, now the militarization in Asia Pacific, and even going into East Asia. So all this is not just happening for no reason. This is again explicit display of imperial goals. Prolonging imperialism is the agenda. So much so that even this induction of feudalism is prevalent today. Feudalism that should have been put to rest, or that should have been abandoned with the conclusion of medieval era. For feudalism existed in medieval times, but that feudalism is now revived and enforced upon the world population. And what does feudalism mean? Feudalism is pledging allegiance by all nations across the globe to the crown, or the unipolar force that reigns control as the supreme authority. So what happens to the sovereign status of the nations in the process? There would be no such thing as sovereignty. As such, sovereignty is not even recognized anymore. It should be obvious to people in the world. Sovereignty is no longer acknowledged by hegemony. If sovereignty were to be respected, they would think twice before meddling in other nations' affairs or interference in other nations' political, economic, and other interests, in disguise or now increasingly there is overt intrusion happening, like in Ukraine. Democratically elected stable government headed by President Viktor Yanukovych was overthrown literally at gunpoint. Yes, the members were removed from the parliament and the president was removed with death threat, and then hegemony brought in their proxy in Ukraine. Similarly, in Thailand, democratically elected government headed by Prime Minister Ingluck Shinawatra was removed under bizarre allegations that are prominently violated by hegemony representatives in the so-called democracies, whether it be in South Asia or elsewhere. Yet Thailand Prime Minister was removed, only to be replaced with military junta, militia rule in Thailand. Hegemony must be so proud of themselves. So you're asking me, all right, tell me, whom are you going to be backing? Whom are you going to extend support? We will be there to knock them off. Right, hegemony? Let me also say another thing to you. I'm speaking to you, directly to you, not through any intermediary. Let me say this. I know that you will be listening. Even if you pretend to ignore me, you cannot ignore me. And I am talking to you right now, members of hegemony, those who choose to remain in the dark for obvious reasons, for you have no courage to face the world, to face the truth, to face reality, do you? That is why you have created this commotion, this confusion about me, and you have all your proxies and your puppets and your wannabes lined up in diverse manner. As such, you are so much opposed to diversity, but when it comes to your own representation, I guess, as I said, irony is what you represent. Whatever you claim to be objectionable is precisely what you adopt and implement to suit your agenda. So here I am, Padmini Arhant. I'm talking to you, members of hegemony. I'm asking you, what is it with you that when you issue death threats time and time again, am I not used to your death threats? Let me say this to you. Those who fear own mortality like you do, otherwise you would not be flanked by security personnel. You would not just run, or you have doctors monitoring your health 24 hours if possible to make sure that you are alive. So you fear mortality, while having no inhibitions in taking innocent lives across the globe, worldwide. Is there any nation or state that you spare when it comes to eliminating people that you consider your obstacle? Not at all. That is why I'm asking you, hegemony, Padmini. Yes, I'm talking to you as Padmini Arhant. I'm not feigning, or I have not I'm not in disguise. I have been who I am right from the word go until today, regardless of whether you and your proxies and your contingency is willing to accept me or not. That is irrelevant. As representative of the divine mission, I am speaking with you, to you, and I would like to seek answers from you in this regard. What is it with these death threats? Let me also say another thing to you. If you understand life and death the way I do, your focus would be on making every moment in life worthwhile. Only cowards hide behind death threats. Only those lacking in courage, integrity, were lacking in self-respect would resort to harassment, intimidation, including death threats, like you do time and time again, for I know that killing comes so naturally for you. Using your guns, your weapons, your bombs, and these days you have your nuclear arsenal, don't you? Nuclear weapons. You hide behind your weaponry. And you think that humanity should bow to your nuclear weapons. And this environment that you have created, that people should continuously live in fear like you do, the members of hegemony, you live in fear. Yes, despite your arms and ammunition in your possession, including your nuclear weapons, you live in fear. Peace is antithetical to you. You do not know the meaning of peace. If you were to be acquainted with peace, you would not be treading on the path that you have been for so long, that you are not afraid of your opponents like me, the peace message, but what is really having an impact on you is your own actions. Yes, your own actions. For you're too busy, you're preoccupied in eliminating any peaceful resolutions or peaceful suggestions, recommendations that are made is not acceptable to you. You are so immune to violence, and you have imposed and inflicted violence on inhabitants of this planet that you want people to accept violence as way of life. You would not have it any other way. So I'm telling you, members of hegemony, all these death threats and your intimidations is only reflective of your inner turmoil, trepidation in you that you are experiencing right now. For you know that your actions are unsustainable. How long do you think you could continue with terrorism and warfare and this relentless unrest that you have created worldwide? Even with your contingency, the servile contingency that exists in so many different factions, I'm telling you, you would not be able to prove your strategy to be the indestructible and this is again why I think is a moment for you to pause and do and review on your actions, review your actions for what you have experienced with your warfare so far is only phenomenal defeat, whether it be Vietnam War or the even going back to the Korean warfare that has only resulted in armistice, not, you know, any kind of gain or loss. But then well, losses are always there. When people die, that is a tremendous loss in any warfare, not to mention the economic liabilities that comes along, and the civilians of the nations are the ones who have to bear the brunt of the economic and the human losses that always accompanies warfare. So whether it be the Korean War, Vietnam War, Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, Libya, Sudan, and it just goes on and on, Ukraine, I'm speaking about the contemporary warfare. So this is what is going on. Hegemonic goals, a colossal failure. And when you think that you can eliminate anyone who is trying to bring an end to this madness, these adventures that appears to be nothing other than these wild adventures, what you really forget about is that you are losing every step of the way. And another thing that I find intriguing and interesting at the same time is that whoever has come along with peace messages, what have you done? In fact, hegemony has no tolerance to real heroes, do you? What do you do to the real heroes of this world? It's simple for you. The real heroes, you assassinate them. Yes, the real heroes are assassinated, while you glorify the pseudos, the false, the fake heroes, and you bring them on to the podium. The fake heroes, the phonies, the wannabes. Yes, your fake heroes might be portrayed and projected by you as the real heroes, but in real life, their actions amply clarify them as the villains. For they are associated, involved in activities, criminal activities or otherwise, embezzlement, instigating communal violence or whatever it might be. But you promote them as heroes, whereas the real heroes in the world are promptly removed, eliminated through assassinations. For you have created this world to be the place only for your kind. Your kind. Only then they can be part of your league, isn't it? And when you issue any death threats, let me also say this, that bullies who bully others, with death threats and all kinds of, intimidations and tactics that you have up your sleeve, and you pull it off time and time again, what does that mean? That means that that is your inner fear and the deterioration of your strength. There is no such thing as courage. If you were to be courageous, you would abandon, renounce violence, deception, deceitful actions, and instead come forward and have a one-on-one dialogue, and you would adopt and appreciate civility and diplomacy. That is not desirable. Again, the other actions that I see is that there is this massive, convoluted, distorted versions that is in constant supply. Again, this is all happening for mind control. Mind control is the biggest strategy right now. It's almost like, you see how, I'm sure you saw the picture that I have published on my website, PadminiArhant.com. The polar bear clinging on to that last frozen block of ice, just the remnants that are left in the North Pole. This is the consequence of melting glaciers in that part of the world, thanks to human appreciation of this planet and environment. So similarly, what you're doing is, just like the polar bear is clinging on to that remaining ice block for survival, you are now dependent on your servile contingency and your front men and women you use as masquerades. And I'm also waiting to see when exactly are you going to step out of your spin zone. Spin zone. Yes, the spin zone that you have with your controlled media, press, entertainment, industry, and so on. When is this happening? And all this dramatic events that are happening in the so-called politics, but then whoever thinks politics to be real, effective governance, and so on. Politics is merely a political circus for those who are behind this circus are the puppeteers. They use politics for their political, economic, and strategic gains in the world. I'm going to come back and talk about more issues. In the meantime, let me also remind my listeners about another interesting scenario pertaining to hegemony-controlled media, none other than mainstream network in the United States, or for that matter elsewhere. But to be relevant, what I'm going to say is about the mainstream network in the United States. Now, when you have a mainstream network dedicated, like the Fox network, Fox News, or CNN, but in this instance, Fox News. Fox News, as you know, is well known for the propaganda-based news, or any shows that they are trying to present to their audience. Of course, I'm sure that you know they have their own audience that tune in to, you know, what they have to present and provide them in the form of news or entertainment, whatever it might be. But let me just say this: when you have the host of a Fox News show, this is a Fox News program, and then the host is pretending to be the empathizer of women and womanhood, and citing that, well, you know, so-and-so pays a male employee more than she does to a female employee. And at the same time, the same host is using that program by inviting a woman guest and does nothing but humiliate that woman guest in the program with another male guest paid to humiliate this woman guest. I don't understand if the woman guest is a willful participant in this contrived show, this program, and has agreed to allow herself to be humiliated by two male members in that program. So what I find paradoxical about this show is that the show is all about, or at least the segment in the show was about, how women are being treated unfairly, and women are not, you know, being they are not acknowledged as an equal. But at the same time, the same show, the program, is attacking this woman guest. So much so that even delving into her personal life and questioning her about issues that could obviously, you know, is completely off limit and unrelated to the topic, and then claiming the host and the male guest claiming to be the woman empathizers is indeed you know, attention worthy. For what I'm saying is, you know, here the Fox network has had this host this program and paid this host for women bashing, and at the same time the guest and the host together are projecting themselves as those empathizers of women. And this is what I'm talking about, mind control. You know, there is this gross underestimation of human intelligence and how media is being used to basically misinform and manipulate human mind. So these are the things that people need to pay attention, and I would say that the more you give when you become a regular viewer of such programs, then you're only allowing such information or this such propaganda to invade your mind. So people have choices to reject or accept, but then when you accept such this distortion and this kind of deliberate misrepresentation, then you only have yourself to blame. For as I said, you know, you have the choice to reject such interpretations through these programs where you have, you know, the women empathizers are essentially, what they're doing is they are paid by the network to be women bashers. And it was this is precisely what they're doing in that program. And and if they did not recognize that whatever they are criticizing about is precisely what they are involved in, then that also goes to prove the presence of mind, or should I say, you know, the intelligence or the lack thereof in them. So there is much more to talk about on other issues, obviously, whether it be politics, economics, social, religion, and so on. And I will be back with more on those issues as well, and I will share my thoughts. And there are a lot more questions that I have for hegemony and their representatives as heads of the governments in different parts of the world. And we will touch base on those issues when I resume my discussion shortly. Before I leave, I would like to also mention about this response on this international yoga event and the reason for choosing June 21st, vaguely stated as the summer solstice day, which means that would be the longest day of summer in Northern Hemisphere, and it is quoted as the reason for choosing that day for International Yoga Day. And what I would like to now ask my those who are behind this explanation is then does this know when you are scheduling this event on the longest day of summer in Northern Hemisphere, which means it becomes the shortest day in Southern Hemisphere, are you not excluding the population in southern hemisphere, like South America, South Africa, Australia, and so on, that are in southern hemisphere. And all that I'm saying is, any reasons or explanations still do not correlate or quite fit into the actual reason behind this selection of the date. So again, I can say that it would be best not to get into this web of explanations. Only kind of this only brings to light the actual motive that cannot possibly be ignored. And this is something that they know as well as I do, and this becomes the difficult challenge for them to confront the truth and be more transparent and acknowledge their errors or mistake. But anyways, this is something that for the people to understand, and it is all the event is itself is, again, there is no going back about being politically motivated when they are trying to organize something for the purpose, but then the purpose itself does not quite fit in with the reasons provided therein. So I will be back with more issues related to humanity and environment as well. I appreciate all of you, those who have been listening to what I had to share in this session. And again, I would like to thank all my listeners for your time and attention. This is Padmini Arhant, representative, Divine Mission, author and presenter, PadminiArhant.com. We'll be back soon. Thank you.